Amen. Before we go into the Word, I just want to let you know, and I think Ms. Sharon later on will be talking to you about it too, but for the benefit of those that are watching us on the live stream, we will not have a Wednesday night service this coming Wednesday night. It will be on Tuesday instead. So Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. is when we will have our service this week. Amen. So if you happen to tune in on Wednesday night and can't find us, that will be the reason why. But if you tune in on Tuesday night, this coming up week only, we're not changing our midweek service. But because of the Thanksgiving week and some things going on, so we're going to move it up to Tuesday night at 7:30 rather than Wednesday at 7:30. So praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory. Are you ready for the word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You have your Bibles?
Yes.
Prove it. Let me see them. Amen. I like proof. Yeah. Hold them up high. Now, I'm not going to let you hold your hand up too high. I don't want you to, you know. Yeah, all right. Very good. Very good. Praise God. You know, I heard a minister say that that they're not really excited about the screens. You know, we have the screens behind me. I have a couple of them behind me, a couple of monitors in front of me. And, of course, we put the scriptures, verses up there as they put them up there as I minister. But he made a good point, and I've also made this point myself, that I don't want you ever to become dependent on the screens behind me. Bring your Bible to church.
Amen.
Bring your Bible or your tablet or your cell phone, wherever you read the Word of God, bring it with you. Amen?
Amen.
And I recommend you bring a pad along with you and a pen or something to take notes. I just want to let you know, just in case you didn't know, because if you've been coming here for a day or two, you already know this, but it's not a sin to take notes in church.
Amen.
Let me say that again. It's not a sin to take notes in church. Praise God. So feel free to bring your notepad, whatever it is you take notes on, and jot some things down that you can go back and study later on. That's important. My job as a pastor is to make sure that you get the Word of God on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
That you get the bread of God. Amen?
Amen.
That you get the bread of God. You know, we can't live by natural things, but we must live by God's Word. And when we get that on the inside of us, when we get it down on the inside of us, that I've got to have the Word of God. And don't go by how you feel. Things may be going wonderful. You know, you have no issues, no problems whatsoever. That's not a time to stop studying your Word and spending time with God. That's not a time to quit. You continue on. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, hallelujah. All right. So you showed me your Bible, so that tells me that you're ready to go. Praise God. All righty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we have together. And I thank you, Father, for everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone that's here in the sanctuary, and everyone that's viewing by other methods, Father, I thank you that they have joined us today. And Father, I pray that they will have open ears to hear your word and an open heart to receive your word here today. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you. I pray, Father, that their lives will be forever changed because of your word. Thank you, Father, for your anointing and your call upon me to minister your word. And Father, I'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask, I'm going to ask the dangerous question right here, but I'm known to do that from time to time. I take a risk sometimes. But I think problems, did you just turn that down? Never mind my question. Some of you know what I was going to ask. Amen. Probably those watching on the live stream, they probably don't have the slightest idea, but tune in next time, I might ask the question. So, amen. Glory to God. All righty. I want to continue where I left off because there's some things that I want to get across to you that I know that it's going to help you and be a blessing to you. And again, let me remind you of my subject. And matter of fact, those of you that's been here, you tell me, what's my subject? Okay, say that again. Amen. I'm hearing the short version and the long version, but you got it. Amen. Don't faint, but fight. Don't faint, but fight. And when we say fight, we're not talking about a fist fight. We're not talking about a fist fight, a gun fight, or anything of that nature, but we're talking about the good fight of faith. Amen. The good fight of faith. Praise God. And that's what we've got to do. Let me tell you something. We are people of faith. Won't you tell yourself that, just in case yourself didn't know it? Tell yourself, say, I am a person of faith.
I am a person of faith.
I am to live by faith.
I am to live by faith.
Amen. See, that's the way God designed our life. That's the way we live today. Amen. Aren't you glad, though, that we don't have to live by what we see? Because sometimes things that we see can be very, very discouraging. Can I say that again? Sometimes things we see can discourage us, amen, and cause us to lose hope. I'm so glad I'm not limited by what I see. Aren't you glad you're not limited by what you hear? Are you still here?
Amen.
We're not limited by what we hear. Amen. We are instructed by God's word to walk by faith and to live by faith. And as a matter of fact, I think you know this already because I've covered it many, many times. And I hope you will not mind me repeating things because things need to be repeated. Amen. But the word of God tells us in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6, is that it without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many of you want to please God?
Amen.
Amen. How many? Come on. Lift your hands high so the devil can see it. We know heaven sees it, but we want the devil to see it too. How many of you want to let the devil know, I want to please God? Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, you can take your hands down. But see, the Bible says, though, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, though, that without faith, it's impossible to please him. That word impossible is a powerful word. If God tells you something is impossible, it ain't happening. You hear me? If God says it's impossible, if God says it's impossible, Now, if we say it's impossible, that don't mean it's impossible. Because we know with God, all things are possible. And with God, nothing is impossible. But if God says impossible, it's impossible. So, what's impossible? It's impossible to please God without faith. You hear me? It's impossible to please God without faith. We don't see God, but we believe that he is. We don't physically see it. Now, isn't it good to know, though, one day we are going to see him. One day we are going to see him. But we cannot physically see God. But here's the good thing about it. But we believe that he is. And we believe that he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. Amen. Jesus told Thomas, when Thomas says, y'all say Jesus rose from the dead, I'm just not going to believe it. I'm just not going to believe it. Unless I can see him and touch him with my own hands, I will not believe. Now, that's quite a statement there. But Thomas had the privilege of touching Jesus. And after touching him and seeing him, he believed in the risen Christ. But you know what? We're more blessed than Thomas. You hear me? We are more blessed than Thomas. Because Jesus told Thomas, says, Thomas, you believe because you see me and you touch me. But what else did he say? Blessed are those. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they believe. Yet they believe. Hallelujah. Yet they believe. And all through Jesus' ministry, as he would minister to people and teach them, he would ask them, do you believe? If someone would need healing, sometimes Jesus would ask them, do you believe I can do this? And there are times he would say, be it unto you according to your faith. Listen to me, and we're going to move on here, but I want to get this across to you. Listen to me. Please listen to me. Your faith is important. Let me say that again. Your faith is important. Whatever you do, build your faith. Work on building your faith. Amen. The Bible says that God's given all of us the measure of faith. I think some versions might say a measure, but the measure of faith. You notice it said measure. Everybody say measure. You know what a measure is? A measure. That's how we got saved. Do you know there are folks out there, they know they're born again? You can't talk them out of their salvation. They know that they're born again. They know that Jesus lives on the inside of them. They believe it, man. I mean, they believe when they leave this earth, die and leave this earth, however, they believe with all their hearts they're going to heaven. There are people like that, and that's good, ain't it? But some of them ain't got a lick of faith for anything else. Nothing beyond that. You listen to them talk, they talk negative stuff all day long. Oh, they know they saved, man. You can't talk them out of that. And that's a good thing. But you know what? We have to build on our faith. We got to build it. We got to build it. That's the reason some folks' faith is stronger than others. Because they put more work into theirs. In other words, let me put it to you, say it this way. They have put more work into pleasing God because that's what pleases him, our faith. In other words, our ability to believe it. Right in the face of opposition, when all the situations and circumstances and evidence and whatever else says otherwise, but the Word of God says different, who are we to side with? God and what He has said. Y'all still here? Amen. I want people here at Word of Life to have strong faith. People that believe God in spite of, they believe God. They trust God. Amen. So in 1 Timothy, this had been our theme verses, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we are told to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Don't faint, but fight. Don't faint, but fight. Now let's go to our other scripture, verse, which is found in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. How many of you know that we got to continue to stand and never quit? Never back down. In verse 9, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Faint or lose heart. I'm reading in the New King James Version. If we do not lose heart, I think the King James Version says, if we do not faint. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, I was going to take you somewhere else, but I'll go back there. Well, I'll do it anyway, so hang on just a minute. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37. We're going to move on, but I want to read this to you. Hallelujah. 37. Seventh Psalm. In Psalm 37, verse 1, it says, do not, because sometimes, you know, when we're walking by faith and living by faith, things around us seem to be going contrary to what we're believing for and what we're trusting God for, and seem to be going contrary to what the Word of God is saying. But in Psalm 37, beginning at verse 1, it says, and it's talking to us believers, do not fret because of who? You know, evildoers, they'll find a way to try to get things done, won't they? But it's the wrong way to do it. And it's going to cost them in the end. But do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. You know, don't ever be envious of somebody that's getting rich doing the wrong thing. Amen. I'd rather please God and be poor than to be rich and living for the devil. Thank God I don't have to, because God promised us that He would meet our needs. Amen? Didn't He? He promised us that He would prosper us. But and we talked about this a little bit yesterday in our men's meeting, but you can't fall in love with money. Oh, let me say that again. We should not fall in love with money. Because once we depart this earth, the money is going to stay. Amen. We need money. Money is a tool. Money is a tool to get things done and to have our needs met, and a tool to be a blessing to others, right? Amen. But we are told not to love money. Because, matter of fact, the Bible tells us that it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Now, some folks misquote that verse and say money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of it is. Because when you love something, it gets all in your emotions and make you do crazy stuff, you know, make you do things that are not right. Amen. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to have money. And I know some people preach that, the poorer you are, the more spiritual you are. That ain't true, because I've seen some dirt poor people just as mean as the devil. Amen. There are some mean poor people. Well, Pastor, maybe they mean because they're poor and have needs. No, they just mean. You give $1 million, they still be mean. See? But thank God, He does meet our needs. But it says, let me finish reading this. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But this is what it tells us to do. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do what?
Good.
Do what?
Trust
in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Amen. Verse 3, put verse 3 on the screen for me, please, in the King James Version. Years ago, when it looked like we weren't going to have a place to stay, a house to live in, I remember praying about our situation, talking to God about our situation. And I had my Bible, I had my King James Bible. And God took me to this verse here, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord. This is the King James Version. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I tell you what, man, that blessed me so much, because God told me two things, spoke two things to me through this verse. Number one, you're going to have somewhere to stay. Number two, you're going to have food to eat.
Amen.
Guess what? We've always had somewhere to stay.
Amen.
Amen. And since I've been an adult, we've had food to eat. Sometimes it looks scarce, but we've always had food to eat.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I won't tell you our story here today, but some of you probably wouldn't believe it, but it's true. But I want to say this, and I got to move on. But I know that God is ministering to some folks. Listen to me real good. Do not determine your service to God based on your present circumstances. Say that again. Do not determine your service to God. In other words, how committed you are, you're going to be to God based on your present circumstances. And I want to say this. If you right now, whoever may be listening to me, you may be at a place in your life right now, and it may not be anybody here in the sanctuary, but it may be someone watching. You may be in a place right now in your life where you are having to find food and possibly rummage through garbage cans to find something suitable. But you are a Christian. Don't let your present circumstances change or alter your commitment to God. I'm here to tell you, and I'm a living witness myself, He will bring you out. You hear me? And some of you maybe can witness to what I'm saying. Amen. You stay committed to God regardless of what your circumstances are, regardless of what you how you're having to live right now. You stay committed to God. You continue to love God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. All right. Amen. Well, all right, I wanted to share that with you. Praise God. All right, that took up a bunch of my time, but that's okay, because I know that ministered to someone. So everybody say, don't faint,
but fight.
Amen. And we're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. Now, this is what I shared with you before. Number one, I told you, and I'm not going to spend any time here, but number one, I told you to always keep a winner's attitude. Always keep a winner's attitude in every area of your walk of faith. You keep a winner's attitude. Amen. David said, I would have lost heart, or I would have fainted, except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's Psalm 27, verse 13 and verse 14. Amen. He said, I would have a lost heart, but he said, no, I didn't give up. I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise God. Now, number three here, you write this down. I must be quick to obey and do what I know is right. Amen. Even if you're in a tight situation, be quick to obey God. You know, if you're praying and God speaks something to you, do it. Or if you are reading the Word of God and God corrects you through His Word, don't argue with Him. Go ahead and make the change. It's going to be for your good. Amen? Well, everything God does for us, He does it for our good. Amen? Be quick to obey. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, first chapter, I believe it is. Isaiah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I got to get the pages separated myself. Isaiah All right, you have the first chapter of Isaiah? Okay. Look at verse 19. Well, let's back up to verse 18. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So God says, come on, let's reason together, all right? Let's jerk the slack out. Let's get some things right. And then look at verse 19, what it says. If you are willing, everybody say if. If you are willing and what?
Obedient.
If you are willing and if you are obedient, what will happen? You shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and if you are obedient, God says you eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make some ways for you if you're willing and if you are obedient. You've heard me say this. Too many people want God's blessing, but they want to live their lives their way. And that's not going to work. You hear me? That's not going to work. You can't live your life your way and expect a flood of God's blessing. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Amen. I'll stop right there. Now, I love this next one. I love this next one. Praise God. Turn to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. See, we don't have to faint. Just fight the good fight of faith. 23rd Psalm. I'm going there too. If you get there before I do, wait on me. Well, you don't have to. I'm there. In the 23rd Psalm, drop down to the 5th verse. God wants you to know this. In the 5th verse of the 23rd Psalm, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." My cup runs over. Think about that for a moment. Let me read this again, because I want you to get it in your spirit. You prepare a table before me, where? Where? Let me tell you something. Are you ready for this? Before I tell you something, let me make this statement. I hear too many people that are losing. They're losing out in life, but they have excuses for losing. Most of the time, it's somebody else's fault. You ever notice human nature, you know, is if you're not making it, you're going to blame somebody else. Well, you know, it makes us feel better when we can blame somebody, whether they're guilty or not. It makes us feel better when we can blame somebody else for our shortcomings, right? That way we don't feel like we have to be accountable for where we are. If we can blame somebody else. If I can blame Bobby for everything, that makes me free. You know, at least I think. Can I help you with something? Wherever you are right now, if you don't like where you are, stop a moment and stop blaming others. Well, preacher, hold up now. You don't know my life. Preacher, you don't know my story. See, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they took from me. You don't know how they treated me. No, I don't. No, I don't. I weren't there. But like I told my wife the other day, there's a God in heaven. Amen. You have to understand that God is not limited by your enemies. Let me say that again. God is not limited at all by your enemies, by what they say, by what they do. We see here, put that verse back up there, it just left. Amen. Put the verse back up, please. Yeah, there it is. God wants us to know that He will bless you in the very presence of your enemies. Who is an enemy? Enemy is a person that just don't like you. They're trying to do or say anything they can to hurt you, or to hinder you, or to stop you. But God has said that I will bless you in the very presence of your enemies. I'm not a God that hides. I'm not a God that bless you and say, shh, don't let your enemy know about it. No, God is a God that blesses you right in the presence of your enemy so that your enemy can see it. Now, why would God do that, Pastor? Does He want to spite my enemy? No, He really loves your enemy, and He wants your enemy to know if you jerk the slack out of yourself, you can be blessed just like they are. If you'd get rid of, repent of your nasty attitude and your nasty way of living, I'll bless your life too. Another thing He's letting us know, nobody can stop you from being blessed. Amen. My wife can testify to this. Years past. I mean, it used to, I remember, my goodness, I used to hate to go car shopping. And I will confess, my credit was bad. I remember this one car we found over in Bennettsville. Now, this has been a lot of years ago. No, it wasn't a brand new one. We couldn't afford a brand new one. It wasn't a brand new one. It was a little Honda, and we needed a car so bad. Needed a car so bad. And so we saw this one, talked to the salesman, and he was encouraging, oh yeah, we can put you to riding in this one. you know, and just go ahead and fill out the paperwork and everything. We did everything he asked us to do. Everything he asked us to do. Everything was looking good, man. We was going to be able to leave in our, not new car, be new to us, but it wasn't a new car because we needed it. And we had been looking and looking and looking, and everybody would tell us, credit's bad, can't help you. Go somewhere, credit's bad, can't help you. And so we told this guy up front, we need a car, but my credit's not too good. I just gonna tell you up front. So if you're gonna say no, just go ahead and say no. We can be on our way, and you can go on about your business. Oh no, we can help you. We can help you. We can put you in a car. Well, we filled out all the paperwork, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. They were washing it up, getting it clean, and we waited. He comes back in there and says, Mr. Redfern, I'm sorry. When you hear those words, your heart just drops. I'm sorry. Now, I'm glad I was saved. Because my flesh wanted to choke him. Putting us through all that, then you're going to tell us, I'm sorry. Your credit is bad. I told you that when I got here. So it was a quiet trip from Bennettsville to Chiraw. Well, we weren't living in Chiraw at that time. But it was a quiet trip. But you know, that was a time when I could have lost it, but I didn't. Because I remembered there's a God in heaven and there's a God in me. Amen. But to make my point, we didn't get that one, but God blessed us with a car. You hear what I'm saying? God opened the door, and that's where we go into. I don't know if I'm going to get there today or not, but God opened the door for us to have an automobile. Listen, let me tell you, if you won't quit, God will come through for you. But if you quit, he don't have anything to work with. And he'll do it right in the presence of your enemies, everybody that says, not going to work for you. Amen. I could tell you story after story after story after story. Hallelujah. Where God worked miracles for us. And God would do the same thing for you. And he'll do it right in the presence of your enemies. When everybody else say you can't, you say you can. Why do I say that, Pastor? Because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Because you have to understand, he is the one I serve. He is the one we serve, right? Amen. Amen. So let me move on. I've gone on a good while. He says, David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And listen what he does. This is what he does in the presence of his enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Glory to God. Now grab a hold of this, folks. See, that's the reason we got to serve God. We got to serve God when things are going good. We got to serve God. We got to stay committed when things are going bad, because God will use you even in the bad situation. He will anoint your head with oil right in the presence of your enemies. Your cup will run over. Run over with what? With the anointing of God. Don't pass up an opportunity to win your enemy to Jesus. They may be your enemy, but you got to understand something. They hurting too. I heard a person say one time, and I believe it. This is the statement that was made. It says, hurting people hurt other people. Let me say that again. Hurting people hurt other people. The person that's hurting you or have hurt you may be hurting themselves. You can have a calm animal, but if they're in pain, you get anywhere near their mouth, they'll bite you. Am I right? Amen. They'll bite you because they're hurting. Amen. Some of y'all get rather irritable when you start hurting. You're just nice and sweet when things are going good. Am I meddling now? Well, I'm probably about time to quit. Glory to God. But hurting people hurt people. So here's the deal. You stay connected to God. You stay in faith. You continue to believe God. Don't move. And God may give you an opportunity to win your enemy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Let me read the rest of this, and then we're going to quit. Hallelujah. Verse 5 again. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. And you need to say this, you need to make this confession, verse 6, every day of your life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, when it seems like it and when it don't. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Say that, will you? Surely. Come on, say it again. Come on, point at yourself. Hallelujah. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. This is the New Living Translation. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely, goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Let me read verse 6 again, New Living Translation. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the problem some of us have is God's mercies, God's goodness and his mercy is following us or pursuing us, but we won't slow down long enough, let them catch up. Amen. God waiting to bless your life. But more important than that, stay committed to him and walk by faith. Walk by faith. Live by faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word here today. And we thank you, Father, that your word will never, ever, ever return to you void. Hallelujah. If you're watching us today and you say, Pastor, I heard you preach this morning, but I have not received Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. And I want to surrender my life to Him.